Relax. Turn this shit off. Why would like this song bother?
All right. Your text is on fire. he sure is. Big text. Written off by many. A lot of people thought this would be his last year. He might just be, you know, just making up the numbers, just good on the training track while we blood the youngsters. And, you know, at the time of recording, he's leading the race to the Coleman medal, and he's probably, quite possibly, leading the race to the Brownlow medal as well. So Big Bad Tex is on fire. Sex on Fire is the first single from American rock band Kings of Leon. Now, if you remember the late noughties, you know, the band like Kings of Leon came about, and they had you know, this song, and then they also had Use Somebody. That was their other big hit. And I think it was even from the same album. And if you cast your mind back beyond. Not the most recent bushfire apocalypse that we had, but the one before that, about 10, 15 years ago, about 12 years ago, there was a bushfire relief concert that was held at the MCG after the bushfires completed completed ravaging southeastern Australia, and the Kings of Leon headlined the gig. And so there was, you know, a whole bunch of artists, you know, 80,000 people at the G. It was pissing down with rain, typical Melbourne weather, for the bushfire relief concert. And the Kings of Leon actually pointedly, deliberately omitted Sex on Fire from their set list because they didn't want to offend anybody whose house burnt down by possibly hearing a song that involved the word fire. You know, I don't know whether Triple M stopped playing Goodness Gracious Great Balls of Fire or you know, any other
Ring of
songs. Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash, you know. I don't know.
We didn't start the fire.
Billy Joel. You know, all of these songs, I don't know whether they got banned. I don't know whether if Billy Joel was going to be playing, if the Piano Man was going to be playing at the bloody benefit concert, would have he stopped, halted playing We Didn't Start the Fire, Dave? I think not.
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
He would have opened and closed with it.
He would have. Absolutely. And then he would have played the Kings of Leon song, Text On. Would have done that as well, just to stick it right up. Yeah, so there you go. Davo, and Tyro and JMO, we're all back after a bit of a hiatus. We actually recorded an amazingly enjoyable probably our best episode ever was our season wrap last year. Only for Dave, I won't blame anyone for the cause of this, but somehow inexplicably the recording just got lost. So it'll go down. It'll go down.
Fingers pointed at me.
The mystery.
He already said Dave just randomly.
Say that again.
Let's face it. Dave got his ID department to waste about 8 hours trying to find
him. There was lots of emails being sent around and hacking into the mainframe being attempted, but just could not find this
audio track, but this 8-man gangbang video.
Obviously the Crows finished the season quite well. I mean, they lost their last game of the year, but they finished off with a few good wins.
Did they ever?
And then we had the big end of season shebang and wind up, and then various players got cut and traded, and Brad Crouch.
And we predicted them all correct too.
Don't open up
the sheets, mate. Just what am I trying to say?
What are you trying to say?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I've got my metaphor wrong.
This mist is mixed up his metaphors.
Mixed up my metaphor.
Yeah. I was giving you a bit of a pat in the back. You got lots more right than the rest of us. It was only Talia, I think, that seemed outlandish at the time, but it probably came closer to fruition than any of us thought. But you make a good point, Slugger. We've won 5 of our last 7 games.
Yeah.
Form.
That is, we'd be one of the form teams in the competition. And we should win this week, although let's not spoil the end of the show. But 6 from 8, 75% win record. Mm. That's huge. But not too many coaches in the modern game could claim that kind of record.
You'd take that, wouldn't you? You'd take that, wouldn't you, JMO?
Well, we've been hearing for years about Dave talking about this guy called Jordan Butts. And for a long time, I just assumed Dave had made up a funny name.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a senior footballer.
Yeah. There was definitely no chance he was getting a game.
Until Talia got injured, and then we got rid of Hardigan, and then Fisher Mackesy turned out to be fucking shit.
Well, maybe.
Look,
But Dave,
this is why we should have whole segments about Dave just scouting the junior draft, you know, his predictions not who we're going to pick this coming year, but 2 or 3 years' time.
Yep.
That's what we want.
Well, I think, you know, and that's probably one good thing. Yeah. that's one good thing about, you know, this, let's call it our new podcast format of probably monthly.
Once every now and then.
Once every now and then. We'll endeavour to at least do it once a month, listeners. But I think what we'll provide here is a bit more trend analysis rather than week to week bullshit,
shadows.
Right?
We don't want to jump at shadows. We want to look at trends.
Exactly. And I've got some good trends for you later in the evening. I'll put that bait out there now to keep the listeners.
We've still got that recurring meeting invite yearly to discuss Wayne Miller's previous season, which was a few years ago, but can't really recall what it was sent out about. but I do enjoy it once a year.
You're going to make me eat my words, apparently, because I said Miller was never going to amount to anything. And so far,
you're winning.
Winning.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's had progeny, so I suppose he's...
They're all having kids.
Yeah.
They're all having bloody kids.
What's COVID the deal with that? COVID boom.
Yeah, is that it?
Is it the COVID boom? Just footballers seem to have kids early.
Well, you know, because they've got their shit together early. They've got a big income relative to their peers, and so you know the ladies just flock to them, and then
seem to pick a bit too early, I think, in some cases.
Oh, they've got nothing. They're not allowed to go out and get pissed. They're not allowed to do any of the fun stuff. They play, they train.
You can get on Tinder. Patton's shown us that.
Well. I don't think we're allowed to talk about that.
Are we?
Gwen, allegedly or something.
Oh, yeah, alleged. He was allegedly on Tinder.
You weren't talking about the footballer. You're talking about the World War II general. So it's fine. He's dead.
E-A-T-T-E-R-N.
Let's move on from the sex scandal. Can we talk about the Gold Coast game?
Yeah, look, let's just go back to the start, shall we? So the Crows came into round one after 2 pretty underwhelming trial games against the Power. I watched the one where they were down at Norlunga, and it was like it was
live.
Yeah, well, I watched it on the television. And it was woeful. I was looking at that game going, we are going to get absolutely murdered this year. It'll be just as bad as last year. And I think a lot of people thought the same coming into round one. And we're up against Geelong. We're up against the grand finalist from the year before, who, you know, let's not forget, only three, four years previous, we'd knocked them off in a prelim, you know, one for the ages, probably one of the best wins as a Crows fan to witness. And we thought, look, this is, we're just going to get flogged by like 15 goals here. And then they came out from the get-go, and Tex was up and about. He's walking around with his chest puffed. He's like, he's tackling people in the forward 50. He's like taking the ball out of the ruck and snapping goals. He's bombing fatties. And it was and the Crows were just up and about, really came to the party hard. And Geelong didn't know what hit him. And by the time the quarter time siren went, the crowd absolutely erupted. Like, it was an eruption like a grand final win. And I think a lot of it, and Dave, you were at the game, and we were talking a bit before the pod about this. It was like the fans almost didn't even, the fans probably assumed, well, I think I certainly assumed that we'd eventually get run over and lose. And so that might be the only good quarter of footy they play for.
That's exactly what it felt like. It was like we've had our win.
Yeah.
How good is this? We've beaten Geelong for a quarter when we thought we were going to get absolutely trounced. Let's get on the beers and enjoy. Yeah. You know? But we managed to somehow stay together.
And what a win it was. The Crows kicked away, and then Geelong came back. And then I thought, it was only in the last 5 minutes when I started actually thinking, we're not going to get thrashed here. We actually haven't got a good chance of winning. It was amazing. And then after that, and that was a cracking game. That was just amazing. And then after that,
just before finishing that, Dangerfield killed Kelly.
Yeah.
The blood just running, you know, like fucking Judas. And we just had players going down. I think, was it Luke Brown that came off already before then?
Yes.
We had then Kelly got sort of, you know, put in a sack and I don't know, taken to hospital.
Yeah. Hinge came on as the injury sub, and did his shoulder, and then it popped twice. Back in, and he went back on the ground and played for a bit. And then eventually came off, and he's done for the season now.
Yeah, and I remember I was watching TV. There were other guys that came off and like twisted their ankles
Hamill
and things.
Was injured at one stage.
And you sort of think like we're gonna go through five interchange. Gonna have anyone left. So just on top of that, and that at Crows of old, any of those things would have given us an excuse to lose.
Mm.
But somehow we got through it. It was fantastic. It really was the best win we've had since that prelim.
Absolutely.
We're playing a completely different brand. I hate that word for relating to football, but they're playing in a completely different style to what we saw basically since, you know, 2017. Bit where
attacking.
Yeah, well, but they just go in for everything. Like they don't give up on anything. The pressure acts, and I'll talk a bit about pressure acts later, but, you know, And that Fox Footy pressure rating thing that I'd love to see a metric still, but you know, we've been consistently in the 200, whatever that means.
The formula, the secret sauce.
Yeah, exactly. But you can see it visibly, right?
Like, well, we're off the chart at one point, which is consumer metrics.
How are we off the pressure meter chart?
Yeah. We blew
the chart. It's like the Crower meter.
But like, to be honest, all you need is fit guys with muscles and can attack the ball on the ground, because invariably it's on the ground when it counts. And if you can do those real basics right, it doesn't matter what grade of football you're playing, you're going to be successful.
And just have a centre half forward that is having an absolute worldie at the moment, where any time the ball comes near,
but even if he's not marking it, he's bringing it down. But look, and we'll talk about the text factor later as well. But mate, it's the apply pressure. It's, you know, Neil Craig showed us that Crobots could do well with a bunch of kind of, you know, a few stars and a bunch of, you know, average squad players that all throw in and know their part, and that's what we're seeing, I think.
But I think it's going back to the days, rather than going back to the Craig days where they are just athletes. We've got players here that are footballers. Like Rowie's kid is a footballer. He's not an athlete. The Schoenberg He's sort of a dumpy little fat kid.
How good was James Rowe's first goal?
He got the ball,
took a bounce, like really careful, sort of double-handed bounce. And then kicked the goal, and you could just see the joy on his face. There's the eruption in the stadium. Because he's the first genuine, like, son of a Crow to play. He's cult figure already because all the emotions that go into it and how his dad's just like a bubble of nerves and that was a good story.
It was brilliant. But it's not like he had three kicks and two lucky goals. Like he had quite a number of possessions. Even the last passage of play, I think he was the one that kicked it to Tex. It's still a fucking good kick.
He got 85 fantasy points that round.
Well, there you go. Says it all, doesn't it?
That is the key metric.
Absolutely.
Oh, I was going to say, though, you compare it to some of the Craig years, it was almost, I think when Sando first took over and took that Craig list that was a bit dull and dour but managed to bring together a squad, but playing exciting footy and moving it, obviously the game with the 50-metre stand on the mark and giving 50 metres away is opening the game up, opening the 45s up, opening the hand passes running past. We're playing really exciting footy, which we haven't played for a long, long time. And, it's not going to – I think we're all getting a bit up and about. We're probably still a bottom, six or seven side. We're not necessarily going to win too many games against the top sides. They'll find us out and probably zone up a bit better in defence against us. But, geez, we're having a crack, and it's really good experience for the kids. And we're playing the kids. We haven't played this many youngsters for a very long time. We've got the youngest list in the comp. We've got one of the younger sides playing week by week, still somehow finding a spot for Dave McKay the other week, which is a little bit disappointing. But, we're playing kids amongst some experience. We've got a very good spine. Obviously, the defence is – I say we've got a good spine. We've got a good forward half spine. The defence is extremely young, but, no, they're just playing good footy.
I've
got some notes for you, Dave, here, and it probably
is this now an early Tyro twister?
No, it's just a good time to bring out some notes off the back of what you said. Now, fantasy points, right? The last three games, we've had four guys that have been in our top five fantasy points each round, and it's Laird, Tex, Keys, and Sloan, right?
Yep.
And it makes you wonder that, we're... How dependent are we on, we talk about we've got the youngest list and whatnot and we're really inexperienced. But, when you're leaning on Tex, Sloan and Laird's actually 27 now as well. He's not 24. Yep. Tex and Sloan are both in their 30s.
We wouldn't have won those games without those players playing. There's no doubt.
Oh, of course.
And you need the level of experience to, and that's why they picked DMACC as well, because you do need a certain number of aged bodies and experienced players. Mm. You can't just play all kids. And Nick's was saying that's why he won't play Thilthorpe just yet, because there's only so many really raw kids you can play at the same time.
But you're exposing Berry. Well, you've got Laird and Sloan who are played most of the centre bounces.
Yep.
Sorry. You've got Berry coming in every now and then. You've got Schoenberg coming in every now and then. McHenry has been playing in a couple of centre bounces. You're kind of bringing a few players through, knowing that they're not going to get absolutely destroyed by the bigger bodies from the other side. So those key guys have stepped up. Clearly, Sloan and Tex have had a couple of average years. Laird, we weren't overly convinced with last year, he'd be kicking the ball to the moon. But all three of them are starting to find some form from a few years back and are being supported well enough by these kids at this point in time anyway to obviously get us some wins against some sides that are again going to struggle. We've had a pretty easy start to the season, excluding Geelong. But I agree, but you're not going to have one of these kids coming in and getting 30 touches and your 100 dream team points.
No, but we need to start seeing them. We need to start seeing one of the younger kids popping into that top five list, because the other ones are Smith, Dode, and Scholl. So Scholl's
Lynch is going to get some. Yeah.
Yeah, but Scholl's the only one that's popped into that top five fantasy points for us in the past 3 weeks, and so we'd want to see that. We'd want to see someone coming in there every now and then. saying that, Keys is only 24, and I didn't rate Keys at all last year. I thought he was a fringe player at Brisbane, and he was still not that much better for us. But I've appreciated his efforts and his ability to hit Tex last week, you know, in the forward 50 from that booming, that raking left kick in the, I think it was the last quarter. Mm. He's not only chucking himself in there, but he actually is providing a bit of quality now.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that you want to be your 22nd picked in a couple of years' time. You know, he's certainly AFL ready, but you want these other guys to overtake him. He's got doesn't have a lot of class about him, but geez, he throws his body around and has a crack. So he's bigger body. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's the kind of guy you need to build a side around that can take those bigger bodies, provides the protection.
So young players, a drawback of them is their inconsistency and their composure under pressure. And round two against Sydney, they came at us very hard and kicked away very early. And Tex kept us in the game with some inside 50 tackles, holding the balls and goals and whatnot. But then we got a bit of a run on, but we just kept on kicking points and points and points. And I think Berry kicked a couple in a row that were very, very much gettable. And quite a few of the young players were burning, like, set shots on goal. And that's what you do get. Like, we were extremely confident up and about after the Geelong game, and then Sydney was the letdown. But I guess the benefit is that after that game, Nick's and the coaching staff could say, look, this is you know, you were great against Geelong, but this is what happened against Sydney. And Sydney are very much on the improve this year. Like, they've jumped. They're amazing now. Watching them get a run on against Essendon in the second quarter this evening. I don't know how that game finished, but
they've won by 3 points.
Oh, okay, good one. Yeah,
so undefeated.
You know, the Crows ended up, it was getting a bit embarrassing by the end, and we sort of kicked a few goals at the end to make it a bit less embarrassing. But the good thing is they learnt the lessons and then came up against Gold Coast at home, and they came out hard, they were kicking accurately, and it was another great performance. But again, Tyra, it was Sloan who lifted the Crows when the Gold Coast were getting a run on. It was Sloan who stepped up and was getting clearances and tackles and doing everything. So you've got to have the consistency from the young players, but you just don't get when they've only played less than 10 games. But to balance that out, you need your veterans to be in form. And I think Tex and Sloan particularly had a good preseason, and now they're actually they're in the best form. Like, Tex looks better than he's looked in 5 years, and Sloan looks better, the best he's looked in.
He's a good size, Tex. He hasn't looked as lean for years.
Mm. I'd expect Sloan and Laird could keep that, and Keys should be able to keep that standard up. Tex won't kick five or six every week because that's Tony Modra numbers, and he's playing like Carey.
Well, what if he did?
Yeah, I know.
No, Dave.
But if he did, he kicks 100 goals, And maybe, I don't know, there is an aspect of these first three games that has made me feel as excited as 1993.
Yeah. And going back that early.
Well, I just want him to kick 13 against Richmond.
But 1993 was the most enjoyable year I think I've experienced, and probably most of us. I know that we were young and we look back on them, but... maybe the game.
See, 17 has opened was
up. I was just going to say 17 was great. Apart from 90, the last 90, round, 90. It was pretty exciting. They were talking about us having the greatest forward line ever
of all time. Yeah, of all time.
McGovern. McGovern and
when he was
and JJ. Yeah. When he was good, when he wasn't fat. I totally agree with everything. And look. We went in there thinking Sydney, on the same sort of trajectory as us, might be bottom four side.
Yeah.
Sydney, they're not. No. The way they're playing, and actually I know they only just beat Essendon, but we weren't disgraced compared to what they've done to other teams.
No.
It just makes me, I agree, we're unlikely to win the premiership this year. I'll say it now.
Yeah.
It's probably unlikely. But there's nothing to say we can't finish in the middle somewhere.
No. And it's round three. All the teams that are worth their salt in finals aren't good yet. That's, if you look back on Hawthorn and Richmond, none of them were doing much at this stage of the year. That's why I was really excited about Port getting off to a flyer, because I was like, they peaked too early. But we'll see where we end up. But I think we've seen enough that there's the great thing about having, you know, a win against a great team like Geelong and then backing it up again against Gold Coast is it's gonna put hunger in the squad.
Mm.
And, you know, these people that are, you know, possibly looking to move on and go, oh, maybe Adelaide's gonna be a tough place to play footy for the next few years, that are in the SANFL, like Fogarty and Chase Jones and Mackesy, might actually go, fuck, oh, there's something going on here. There's definitely something going on here for the age and the experience of the group to be playing like they are. There's something going on really.
What do you think is happening? I mean, Mackesy's that's an unfortunate one. He appears like he's just disinterested and he's angling for a trade back. But what about Fogg? He's out of contract at the end of this year.
Fogg and Mackesy were both talked up either today or yesterday by some of the SANFL, well, by Godden and the other coaches. So, again, whether that was a bit of a rev up or, you know, to please the fans, I don't know. But
I think Fogg got, look, I've got the SANFL.
Fogg played in here. So it's at least
he got 14 kicks and a goal.
Yeah.
So but he was playing. Dave, you sent the SANFL team through to the Crow's Nest group. WhatsApp or something. More than half the team are amateurs.
You know? Yeah, no, but more than that played. I think they, because it was named before, because the AFL squads now get named the night before. They hadn't named the Crow squad, so they didn't want to.
The two highest position players was Latchford or something. We've got 31, and Matty Wright got 25.
Yeah, Matty Wright's still tearing
Matty up. Wright.
But it must be bloody hard if you're like just to defend Fogg. It's bloody hard when you're grafting against good SANFL sides, and half of your team are, you know, not really going to make any other SANFL side because they're a good amateur.
Yeah. Just get on Gibbs for the McGarry.
Do you reckon?
Destroyed it.
Did he?
He did.
Well. Enough of, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Back to Fogg. Fogg's not going to be a midfielder for the AFL. There's no way it's ever going to happen. He's never going to get that tank.
I like the article at the headline of the article was Fogg to be the new Dusty. And then the second paragraph was something like Fogg just wants to be his own man. It's like, which the fuck is it?
It's never going to happen.
At least if you can have a crack in the SANFL, at least it's something you could throw in there.
He got 14 disposals. He played there all day, apparently.
Well, he said 14 kicks. Does that mean 14 disposals?
No, I said, well, no, 14 disposals.
He didn't handball it. It was Kevin Bartlett.
It's not going to happen.
Fair enough. No, I don't disagree with you. He's certainly not a permanent midfielder. But they obviously trying out a few different things. I've been talking about him potentially becoming a midfielder for years, but he's shown that he's been lazy at training. Can't work his way into the side. I don't know whose spot he's meant to take. He's not going to take Texas at the moment, and he's probably not tall enough to take the centre-half forward position. So,
He may have been waiting. He may have just expected that Tex was going to fall out this year.
Well, Frampton's going to – again, we can get to it later. Frampton's played the first three. He's been the first choice. Well, Frampton's been the first choice centre-half forward, and he was good. He was good against Geelong, not so good against Sydney. And was poor against Gold Coast. Which, do you want to go through the Gold Coast game quickly, Ed? And
then absolutely, mate. We touched on in generalities the Gold Coast game as to how it went. But the individual players. Look, again, it was Tex Bomb and Fatties, Sloan lifting from the midfield. It's interesting you say Frampton because that's the position. Because a lot of people are, you know, we want to see our top draft pick. We want to see Phil Thorpe. Is he going to come? Like, if he's going to come in, he probably has to come in for a tall forward. He's not going to come in and play on the wing, and he's not going to come in and play first ruck. So he has to come in for someone like Frampton.
Frampton's SNR forward/second ruck, right?
So. Yeah, second ruck, and that's why it's not Fogg. Fogg's not Fogg's not up for that role. It's just Himmelberg and and Thilthorpe. And from what I understand, Thilthorpe would like to be first ruck, potentially.
Oh, do you reckon he'll be? But even like when he's this skinny and small, like you don't.
Well, not now, but like later down the track, you know. Yeah, okay. And but you know that's where Fogg's at. He's got one. He's really only got Texas spot.
Unless he builds the tank and becomes a Mark Ricciuto or a Scott Thompson.
Well, there's no reason why he can't be competing for the back line either, to be honest. Like,
well, they played him last year in the back line in the SNFL, didn't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, they played him down back a lot in the SNFL last year.
But the other thing the Crows have got to be mindful of, that Tex, you know, Tex, he could have a great year this year, and yeah, maybe he'll play on next year, but he will end soon.
Yeah, of course.
Fogarty is still probably only 20, like, is probably 21, maybe. 22 at best. You know,
this is 40 on the list.
And unless Thilthorpe is the plan to taking over, you do need someone, right? So I don't know.
You don't get many players that don't play much in their first three or four seasons that then come on to become something.
Yeah, he was held back a long time.
Yeah, but it was still only two seasons without really playing much.
And he only got games because Lever left.
Right? Yeah, that's true. But you know, we're talking about Frampton before. Frampton's keeping out. We've got Himmelberg, which is probably his most direct competition. Fogg, who could potentially take that spot on. Thilthorpe, who's young, and Mackesy, if we're going to play Mackesy forward. So there's all those blokes could take Frampton spot. And I think when Frampton was named for round one, it was a bit of a surprise, but he showed in round one that he was certainly up to it. He had a bloody good game.
Oh, he was smashing packs. He was bringing the ball down.
Now that it's three rounds in and he's struggled the last two, what's the swap going to be? Himmelberg's probably the easy answer, but maybe Fogg's done enough the last couple of weeks, but that's one of the changes you'd expect would be Frampton out for one of those three or four players.
Yeah, I like Frampton. I think Frampton's good. I think positions. I think he attacks the ball. It's just you know what he does wrong. He drops a mark every now and then when he shouldn't, and
it goes and missing.
It means the world when he drops those marks. Like where Himmelberg, when we were good last year, Himmelberg was playing good football and kicking goals.
And Himmelberg brings it front and centre a bit more than Frampton does.
Himmelberg's massive.
Big dude.
Just a massive frame. We were always excited about what he could bring and it looked like it was going to happen. And so it is disappointing now to see that he's fallen behind again.
In the last year, Himmelberg was the great white hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's really weird with what's going on there because, as you say, Mackesy's a potential, apparently he likes to play up forward too, and all of a sudden we've got too many people for all these spots and obviously some are going to go.
But was Mackesy picked as a key defender? Well,
he played defence in his final underage year, but he played a bit of forward in the years before that and was kind of just touted as a key position player, whether it be forward or back.
And he showed enough fight, I thought, last year to say that in his first year when we were getting belted, to suggest that he was going to be a good... He took that mark running back at the pack. I thought that he showed enough
It also must be fucking disheartening when you play a number of games and you I don't know how many games you would have played in a row without a win.
There was no SNFL either for him.
And there was no SNFL. Yeah, so his sort of progress is a bit fucked up, really. I'd be very, very disappointed if he was to... call it quits at the end of this year.
Definitely.
Yeah, lots of other people have signed on. I mean, we don't. Malira has, it's injury wise, but fuck, he's been off the park for years.
Mm.
Chase Jones
signed a 5-year deal.
That's true. It's good money. And Chase Jones. I mean, fuck me. I don't know what is going on with him.
13 possessions on the weekend.
You look at someone like Lachie Scholl, who is probably smaller than Chase Jones.
No, probably not.
I don't know. It looks physically
taller, but smaller possibly.
But he's absolutely fucking tearing it up.
Yeah.
Like, what's it? What have we done wrong with Chase Jones?
I think it's just might just be a miss. You know, I think there was he didn't dominate as an underage player. Maybe
really? Why did we get him?
We made we took a punt.
We took a bit of a punt. It was very good, but you know, probably went 10 spots ahead of where he should have gone.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And then, because people like McHenry is past him, Schoellenberg, all these guys.
McHenry hasn't signed
yet. How tall do you reckon Lachie Scholl is?
I reckon he's 6 foot even.
I reckon he's 182. I reckon he's
182, 6 foot.
But is he about 65 kilos?
Are you going to tell us, Dave?
He's 185, which is
Okay.
So he's 6'1", 6'2".
It's 77 kilos, apparently.
And Jones is in the 70s. He's 170s, isn't he?
It'd have to be. Jones.
I was sort of, I guess, referring to the physicality rather than the height. But yeah. I think, I don't know. I wonder whether we're going to see Jones again.
He's going to struggle. He's going to struggle.
Yeah. He'll hold out for a Tasmanian team.
Because he has to play midfield. He's not going to get a small forward role, I don't think.
Because he can't kick.
Well, yeah. His wing position has been taken by Scholl.
Haley had 20-odd touches on the weekend. Was the next midfielder in. Pedler's coming back from injury. Pedler will play towards the end of the year, you would have thought, when he gets his body right. So,
who's that?
Pedler.
The tank.
Pick 11 or whatever last year.
Yeah. Well, bought that, you know, Worrell and Borlase are apparently doing well.
Worrell should play this week, apparently, so...
That's a defence sorted.
So who would Worrell in for who, Dave?
Don't know.
He'd only play half back.
Or maybe as the substitute, like the 23rd.
Substitute. Don't know. Kelly could be.
Kelly was so good last week.
Kelly was good.
I really
liked him. North Melbourne. They've got
Hamill's been quiet last couple as well. So
Hamill's all right. How many tools have North got? Oh no, MacArthur's full back for that team.
I know nothing about North.
They're an unknown. They've got a percentage of 37.
And they've sold the
farm. We're gonna lose, aren't we?
Sold the farm to get Jasper Pittard. They really.
And his DPD list, I think.
He was delisted. Pollock.
Yeah, and they've got a war chest now because they got rid of their horrible, horrible player Ben Brown. fuck are you doing,
idiots? If Texas bouncing back this year, Ben Brown would as well. No, crazy. Yeah. We've got a bit of lettuce from last night when we dipped our toe back into the social media cesspool that is Twitter and said yes, we are back. Crow's Nest Monthly is back. There's a lot of love for Tex on the Twitter. Hammertron is politely requesting a full description of each of Tex's fatties for the year. Please.
Yes.
That is a good point. How many fatties do we have a fatty count? Because it must be in the 5 or 6.
Dave's got a tally on his wall, I believe, of every time Tex bombs a fatty, just notches one down there.
We need a fatty count. It's a very good point.
We'll do a rolling fatty count.
That's a I'll try and work it out.
What are the exact descriptions of a fatty? Is it just outside 50?
It's outside 50 goalpost height.
But it's going to be like grown up on or near a farm, like grown up near or outside the 50.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. And ideally. Like the classical fatty, the classical text fatty is the mark on the lead, taking the mark about on the 50 line, like maybe 5 meters in from the boundary at left half forward, and then just wheels around about 60 meters out, comes about 5 meters in and just like bombs it. And it goes through halfway up the goalposts into the back of the stand. That is the classic text fatty.
Can we include that one that he took against Geelong? The mark was only about 40 out, but he played on off one step and bombed it through goalpost height.
And but Dave, the other good thing about that was I reckon he was actually trying to pass it to someone.
So do I.
No, he came out. He actually said he was. He came out and said he was. He was trying to pass it, and it just.
But it went through a goalpost high.
he can't stop himself kicking it 60 meters.
I've just done a quick recap of his goals of West Coast. He kicked 3 fatties against Gold Coast.
Yep.
3 fatties. 3 Gold fatties. Coast.
So that's. That's a good start.
This is I'll
get the others done. Don't worry, I'll get them all done.
I think we'll
keep going and I'll try back in.
Look, it wasn't quite the classical fatty, but I did like against Geelong, he came up against Josh Jenkins in the ruck, yes, in a forward 50, and he's probably 45 out, boundary throwing, and he just nudges him out of the way, takes the ball, just drops it on the boot and snaps a goal. And I thought to myself, bloody hell, Tex is winning the ball in the ruck and snapping goals. Like
they were all fatties. Geelong's game were all fatties. That's five fatties. The Sydney ones were no fatties. And then we had 3 against Gold Coast.
The Sydney ones are mostly like holding the balls, yeah.
Yeah, we're 8 fatties.
8 fatties. Look, fantastic. Tex is amazing. Kel from Richmond says, Tex, restoring every raw emotion ripped into shreds since 2017. It's been cathartic seeing Tex, who's just been so hounded by the media. He's basically been taken apart by the wolves of the AFL media, like Lady Diana was by the wolves of British tabloids. Tex has just been hounded by the likes of Hutchie and Craterface and all of these people. And you know what? Like they were ragging on him for his short condolence speech after the granny. They were ragging on him for standing up for the club and telling Jake Lever that he was only going for money, not success, when he was going for a 900 grand contract or whatever. And they were ragging on him for, you know, defending the club when the club was getting slammed by all these rumors and innuendos about the camp. And then he was getting body shamed by Kane. Showing pictures of him, with his summer dad bod, and comparing it to Charlie Dixon balls, and you know all of these sorts of things, and Tex was just, you know, he was suffering a little bit, and he wasn't in the greatest form. He was playing while injured, and towards the end of last year, most people were thinking, look, Tex is done, and he'll go around and he'll have a valedictory year where he will just play the odd game, bomb the odd fatty. And then we'll see, say, sayonara to Tex, our record goal kicker. But gee whiz, he's turned it on his head, hasn't he?
And the fatty count's in too, Slugger.
Official fatty count.
Yeah, three against Geelong, none against Sydney, and 3 against Gold Coast. So they've all been at Adelaide Oval.
Six fatties out of 17 goals. So he's shooting at over 33% fatty.
That's an amazing
fatty rate.
Fatty to goal ratio.
That is an amazing fatty rate.
Can we get someone to do a graph or something a coronavirus sort of style graph?
Rolling 7-day average of fatties. new fatties. Yeah, recovered fatties.
Let's get a hashtag going as well on Twitter, okay?
Fatties.
Hashtag fatties.
Yeah.
I love it. Make sure it stays football related.
Let's Beyblade says that he wants 30 minutes plus of Tex fatty chat, please. I think we'll make 30 minutes of Tex fatties by the end of the episode. So you got it. Then we've got Mike from Paynham South. My jerk nomination. I'm not sure if you're planning on doing a jerk later, Jamo, but he's an early jerk nomination.
Jerk.
So his jerk nomination is, and we're going back to an old trope here, an old favorite trope. My jerk nomination is Chickmate. On Friday, I grabbed a sachet from the second grade of the second grade chicken seasoning to apply to my barely cooked lukewarm chips, and the damn thing was solidified as though it had been converted into a solid state during the preseason. Can you believe it? Like, can you just imagine? You're lining up in the COVID-safe protocols. You're lining up. You get your bloody hot chips, and then first of all, they're undercooked. They're sweating in the box. They're undercooked. And then you don't have just a big 5-kilo drum of matani that you can just liberally shake over. You have to get a fucking stick of this stuff that is like, it's worse than the flavoring that you get in Maggi chicken noodles. Like it's worse than that. And then, so you trudge back to your seat, you sit down, you tear the end off, and then you shake it out and just like a big stick. A stick of crustified.
It's salt. Disgusting.
Yeah, and this
look,
is
it, go for it.
This is all that's wrong. All that's wrong with the SMA, their penny pinching, and COVID, and it's just everything. Everything. This is, and I know that Chickmate came in before COVID, but if it weren't for COVID, we would have fan power, fan pressure would have got the big self shaker tubs of matani back.
Yeah. Well, I say let's check the use-by date because I bet they're from last year. Mm. I bet they're all pre-ordered and there were no crowds.
They can probably last for 30 years.
It doesn't matter. They can't go solid.
It's a moon sort of food.
It's not a fucking, Macelle stock cube.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a stock cube. you've had a lot of close, intimate dealings with the matani business. And I'm sure that you'd be able to reassure the fans that matani chicken salt has just the right amount of anti-caking agent.
Absolutely. In fact, they're spending a shitload on R&D at the moment just to make sure that
they'll be going vegan.
You've got to do it.
No palm oil.
They fucking love orangutans.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is have orangutan blood on your fingers. You're sprinkling
like Adelaide Zoo
onto your chips.
There's a guarantee. There's hardly any bat in the chicken salt. I've said that from the start.
Topical.
It's just fine. Going back to Mike's essay.
Yeah.
Just before, I don't reckon Adelaide Oval are cooking chips anymore. I reckon they're steaming them.
What?
Because I agree. Like at the cricket and the footy, it is not cooked. It is sort of warm and wet.
They've got air fryers out.
Boiled chips.
They're boiled. They're not cooked. Disgrace.
There's no way they're boiled. Because that would work.
They're not French fried. They're not French fried.
Okay, but chips, they're already pre-cooked, right? They're frozen. Mm. They're cooked. They're frozen. They're put in a bag. You can't boil them.
They're not cooking them for long enough, are they? They're
steaming
cooking.
Them.
Maybe they're air frying them, but they're not cooked. They're not God. Steaming
makes
them.
Makes me worry.
Shows how much time you spend in the kitchen.
I reckon steaming them. like a dumpling.
They could be steaming them. Yeah.
Could be. Maybe
that steam is what's caused the chicken salt to cake.
Well, then fucking fry the chips and get the tarny back.
Yeah.
Fixed.
How hard is it? It's not very hard.
I know we jest and make a bit of fun of it, but that is a disgrace to go and buy it. And the chips probably cost $7 or $8.
Oh, that'd be $10 for a bag of chips. Box of chips.
It's just absolutely bullshit.
Box of steamed chips. Bloody disgraceful. Boiled
chips.
I will Bozza also particularly after you jumped on and called out Bozza saying that you're going to be rolling through his Twitter feed
I did roll through his Twitter feed and I can't talk about anything that was on it because it's all
malicious
or taboo or something we can't mention anything.
The one thing that he did show though was that we can mention is he did say with 14 Jones and Donald Fisher on the outer, there's not much material. Rat sent me a DM when he got traded to the Gold Coast. So I sent one post-game Saturday night. Now he's deleted his account again. Hashtag.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
What had Bozza been sending to Rat over the past 6 or 7 years that made Rat want to respond?
Well, I think Bozza actually is explaining it to one of his mates yeah. on there, and he basically said, "So Bozza, I don't know, Bozza must work in some organization that does yeah. sponsored gear for the Crows, because he said that yeah. that Ratkins DM'd him in 2015 for some sponsor gear, and then it went downhill after yeah. 2018 when he started playing pathetically." In 2019, his last game versus Gold Coast, by memory, Bozza reckons he indirectly sent about 83 tweets about him, and he reinstated his account and sent a picture of a emoji of just a crying face emoji, and then he sent the crying face emoji when he got traded. So basically, he deleted his account. After various reasons, and then as soon as he got traded to Gold Coast, he reactivated his account and sent Bozza a DM of a laughing crying emoji, and then deleted it again. And then so that in itself is a little bit strange. So Ratkins is obviously just thinking about Bozza day and night, and then he just pops up this weekend. Rat sent him a DM when he got traded to Gold Coast. So Bozza sent one back post game on Saturday night after the Crows to Gold Coast. Now he's deleted his account again. And Ratkins had said Friday night after the game, Ratkins replied was, "You, my friend, are a sad, sad man." and then Bozza just said, "You sent it to me first, bro. Enjoy the season if you get a game. Kiss, kiss."
The thing I like about that song, if you are right, and it is like this it started in this like business relationship, that Boz has just gone rogue on either his employer or his business relationship, and it's just personally abusing
clients,
a client or a supplier, whatever they are.
It's fantastic. Just like,
I don't care about it. Business is not business. This is personal.
What I love is that Ratkins is clearly rattled by Bozza, he's a sucker for punishment, and he's reactivating his account just to engage with Bozza. So he's obviously thinking, wonder what Bozza thinks about this. Maybe I'll just go and have a quick chat to Bozza.
To be fair, none of us have actually experienced, the potential wrath of what Bozza can, subject us to. Maybe, he does send a million texts and finds all your other things and harasses you like crazy. I don't know. Don't know what this man's capable of.
Well, Bozza did. Speaking of that, Taro, Bozza yeah. did actually call you out for one thing. And he said, "Let's discuss me rating Schoenberg, Ned, Billy, etc. last year and getting bagged, eh?" What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm still not sold on McHenry. He hasn't signed the deed that he's going to be in the team, for the rest of the year. So Schoenberg.
He's been improving.
But, let's see if he plays the full season out. Schoenberg, I was always on board with. Who was the other one?
Schoenberg, Ned, Billy. Billy Frampton.
I've said it in past pods. I kind of like the way Frampton gets around the ground, but yeah, he does, things that AFL players shouldn't. Enough said.
No, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, that's it on the Twitter. I just wanted to read one thing. We talked about Jared is one of our best Facebook fans. We don't actually we barely do anything on Facebook, and we basically get Andrew from the Barossa and Jared. Yeah. I'm not sure where Jared's from, but Andrew and Jared often hit us up, and so he gave us a DM late last year in the middle of trade period, I think it was actually just before our final pod of the year, and we read it out and we had such good fun with it, and then we lost the episode, but I won't read the whole thing, but basically some of the choice sort of quotes from this DM: "Well done on another fine season of casting the pod, particularly like the one where you talked about Euro electro pop for a good 25 minutes. came for the footy but stayed for the Wikipedia sourced monologues and made the thing of silly." I like that. And then he talks a little bit about Tex. Tex at that time, Tex was playing terribly, and we're wanting Fogg to come in, blah blah blah. And then at the very end, he says, Have you ever considered doing a Crow's Nest Draft Watch pod series? 25 minutes on 70s musicians related to game show hosts or some shit, 5 on trades that have actually been announced, and another 45 on bullshit conjecture and club Christmas wish lists like every other draft pod.
Fantastic.
And do you know what, Jared? We were this close to doing that exact podcast.
But Riley Beveridge got it.
Yeah.
There was that bit rogue, that trade period. I know, like, fuck all happened. But there was the, was it the ex-Crow guy that said, oh, this Crow's data guy has just been made redundant?
Yeah. Oh, that Riddell said middle.
Yeah, yeah, the Indian bloke.
Sorry, calling the Indian bloke.
I can't remember his name. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. But he's he seems like a good guy.
Yeah, you know.
But he just like fired back like, yeah, you know, fired. I'm not fired. I'm
just, here's a picture of me with today's newspaper in the Crow's office.
Yeah. Not only do I do recruiting and game analytics, I also do marketing. Like, yeah. He does everything.
Yeah.
It's like keeping the club afloat.
Matt Rendell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blew it.
There was some other good content that got lost on Dave's server that was on that last can we get back onto it somehow?
Slugger, before we
can
finish
I get
up.
A segue? Slugger, when was the last time you went to Jarma's restaurant?
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to name said restaurant.
Everyone knows.
I didn't in the lost episode, but it was the night of the last Crows game of the year. They had I had a mate's 40th at Jarma's, and we were booked weeks in advance in the big function room there, you know, and in the week leading up to it, we were told, oh, you've been shunted to the front room. And as a result, we'll put a bit of extra cash on the bar to keep you sweet. And so we were like, yeah, whatever. So we roll up at the place, sit down, and we're, you know, having some, you know, nibbles. And this is COVID, so you had to sit down to drink and all that sort of stuff.
Oh,
So we're all sitting down and eating, you know, prosciutto and cold cuts and whatever, and waiting for pizzas to come out and getting more and more drunk. And then we were wondering why we were bumped. And then the guy whose party was said we got bumped because the Crows wanted to have their post match celebration there. And so the owner of the restaurant was like, well, you know, we've got to let the Crows in, so we'll bump you. Gave the sweetener of a few hundred on the bar, and that sort of like sweetened it all up. And then so we were sitting around and periodically you'd sort of see Crows players going in and out and stuff. We were sharing the same like toilet block and stuff, so you'd be taking pisses next to, you know, like Dode and stuff like that. And then at one point we saw a guy walk out on the street and is it Robe Terrace? The street out
Park Terrace.
Park Terrace, yeah. This guy who we thought was I've actually forgotten the name of the player. It was a player who was playing in the forward line for us a little bit last year. Regardless, we thought it was a particular Crows player. He came out into the middle of the median strip and then like just was stumbling around, flopped his cock out, took a piss, and then just fell over. And then we're like, holy shit, which player is that? Oh my god! And we were certain that it was a particular Crows player. And then we saw Bryce Gibbs come out and go out and basically pick this guy up and then, like, you know, put his arm around him and stuff. And then Matthew Nix came out and all these people came out into the middle of the meet. Strip and sort of like got this guy back in, and we're sort of working out who is this guy. And then it turns out it was some sleuthing at the table worked out that it was, they pulled up Bryce Gibbs's Instagram, and it was Bryce Gibbs's like best mate who was at the post match function. He's not a Crows player or anything, but he was just,
does
like
everyone look, get to invite their best mate?
Yeah, I don't know. So
he was retired. He retired.
How many people were there?
Oh, well, I don't know. I didn't go in the Crows function room, but there must have been all the squad and whatever. And so basically Bryce Gibbs brought his mate there. And so Gibbs was in reasonable nick. Like he wasn't rolling around drunk, but his mate certainly was. And they brought him all in. And I think the Crows recognized that we were sort of peering out the window going, what's going on here? And so they shortly after they sent Matt Crouch and someone else, might have been, it was Matt Crouch and someone out with a signed footy. to give to the birthday boy who is completely lost. Like, he doesn't like really follow footy at all, but he knew it was the Crows. So he's like, oh, this is great. So, you know, he's sitting there, it's a photo with him, with Matt Crouch and someone else. With the sign.
Bryce Gibbs's mate.
And it was like the apology footy, like, you know, the hush footy. So here you go, like, you know, and we sort of thought, like, that was, you know, it's a nice gesture, you know, they've put a bit of cash in the bar, that we've witnessed a little bit of carry on, and they've given us an apology footy, or they've given the birthday boy an apology footy. But then a little bit later, even more strange, we started sort of complaining because they hadn't really sent out much pizza. They'd given us heaps of like antipasto, but they hadn't sent out much pizza. And then so they just came out with this bowl. You know, when you go to a Chinese restaurant and you eat out of those little bowls that are about as big as when you cup your hands together. Like, so they brought out a little bowl with a scotch fillet that had been sliced into like thin strips just out to our table. So the party was brought up, split into about three or four tables. And so brought to our table of about 10 people and like with this little cup of like a scotch fillet that had been sliced up and said, oh, does anyone want some of this? And then so we were just one. Yeah. And so we were just like reaching into this little bowl, pulling out a little strip of steak.
You ate it still.
So, I was steaming and quite hungry. Right. I was waiting for the extra thing. But I reckon that was an apology steak as well. So they sort of, they like, someone in the Crows must.
No, hold on. You don't just. How do they come up? Like, I can understand the apology football, but where's an apology? Like,
I reckon what happened. I reckon what happened is someone like Chase Jones sent his steak back, and we're like, nah, I'm not having this.
I ordered it blue.
And I reckon it was sent back, and they were like, well, we were going to bin this, but you know, these guys out here, you know, we've got to keep them sweet, and they're complaining because they're not they're
that guy, that guy from the Crow's Nest is
so we'll slice it up and we'll bring it out, and everyone can just hoe into it. And it was really quite extraordinary. And at the very
where are all the platter plates? Oh, don't have any left. What about that little Chinese bowl that's about the size of your hand?
Yeah,
put it all in that. Chuck that in there.
It's strange. I've never been in a situation where someone has walked around, a waiter at a restaurant has walked around with a bowl, a Chinese rice bowl with thinly sliced char-grilled scotch fillet in it, just asking if anyone wants to just like have one. It's like someone walking around with like some little Easter eggs in the office going, you want an Easter egg? But it was like, you want a slice of scotch fillet that's been, you know, incorrectly cooked. For someone.
What time was it? Jesus.
That would have been, by that time, it would have been about 9 o'clock at night.
Was there any sauce or condiments?
No. It was just, it would have had a bit of salt and pepper rub and then just char grilled. Like, it was quite tasty, don't get me wrong.
Bring out a dinner roll at least and make it into a little sandwich.
Bit of dinner roll.
It's really fucking weird.
It is strange. And then later on in the evening, I happened to go in to take a piss, and I saw Dode, and again I can't remember who the it might have been Jones, actually. It might have been Chase Jones.
Yeah, I think
and Bryce Gibbs were all in the urinal, and so they were all standing there, and I was like, I couldn't get in. I'd just basically wait there until they were done. And Gibbs finished up first, and then like, they were saying something like, well done, mate, you know, thanks, it's been a great year, rah, rah, rah. And then he said, oh, look, you know, but I haven't been able to contribute at all. And then just walked out of the toilet. And then Dode turned to Jones and was like, oh, Bryce. In like a really sort of like, you know, like friendly, but, you know, sort of exasperated, friendly sort of, you know, bless him sort of tone. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, I guess he's just really happy now that he's out of the COVID protocols and he can do whatever he wants, and good on him. And then they left, and I took a piss, and then I went back and there we go.
I thought it was more condescending than that.
I remember it being quite endearing.
Great team guy. So there was definitely no. There was because the rumors at the end of last year were like, oh, you know, people hate him, and like, you know, he's a cancer in the team and all this sort of stuff. But I think he was a genuinely well liked member of the club, and it just wasn't working out for him from a selection point of view, and he was out of form, but the players really loved him. So, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame watching him run around in the SANFL, potentially winning a McGarry. Given that we went out and got him as the icing on the cake to win us that premiership.
Yeah, that's right.
Year too late.
That's right.
It was a year too late. He's still kind of on our list though, isn't he? Some.
Yeah, he's officially on. Yeah.
Playing number zero.
Yeah.
Oh, is he? He does his zero. Yeah,
get him in.
That'd really fuck South up, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mid-season draft, bring him back.
So we've got, unless you guys have anything in particular else you want to cover, we've got North Melbourne this week, which is a game at the Telstra Dome or Etihad Stadium or Colonial Stadium or whatever you want to call it these days. Marvel Stadium, that's what it's
Marvel.
Called. Marvel.
Yeah.
So the last time I remember us playing at that stadium against North Melbourne, I'm sure it wasn't the last time we actually played them, was the Petrenko game.
The carriage to Petrenko.
Yeah, carriage to Petrenko. You know, and gee, boy, oh boy, wowee, wasn't that a finish. But I think we've played them. I think we've played them more recently. We've played them in Tassie and weird spots. But they got absolutely humped last weekend. Embarrassed. Yeah. And, you know, I look back to how the Crows were getting embarrassed last year. And when we got embarrassed, we got a couple in a row of bad embarrassments before we turned it around a little bit. And then gradually we're getting closer and closer. And part of me looking at that experience thinks they are ripe. And we are going to pump them by $20. And this is just going to be fatty town. And Texas is going to kick eight. And it's going to be amazing. But I know the Crows too well. And the Crows have hurt my feelings so much over the years that I'm expecting them to lose. I'm going in expecting them to lose.
I reckon this is a new Crows team, Slugger. This is we've experienced difficulty last year. We've had the kind words of goodbye from Bryce Gibbs, and we've turned the corner. And I reckon there's blood in the water. The Crows are gonna hunt them. They're gonna see a weakness, and they're gonna really just fuck them over. It's what are they 37% percentage? Yeah. They might go down to 36 something like that.
Well, you've got to get beaten pretty badly to maintain that, don't you?
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I reckon we can do them over.
Well, James has just shown me the injuries list, and it's got Polek and Anderson, I think, is currently their best midfielder by stats, who's that North Mill Hawthorn reject that the Crows were linked to. They don't. As I say, I don't even know who's in their team. They're the biggest bunch of no names.
So they lost by 52 against Port, 59 against Gold Coast, and 128 against the Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs, you know, they're going to be.
Bulldogs will be good.
The Bulldogs will be good, but the Bulldogs will be particularly good against a shit team, I think, because they've got those flashy players. We've got to win it. Granted that, you know, 2017, wasn't it, when we played him in Hobart? Or Launceston.
I reckon that the loss last year was about the biggest disappointment of the season for me. Because they were the 17th team, we were the 18th.
Yeah.
And they fucking smashed us that day. So no, I'm hoping that we could, like Josh Bruce, who's like just a fat sort of pudgy forward, kicked 10 goals last week, and Texas coming into that like just absolutely on fire, under the roof, Tex could bomb fatties from 75.
He could.
Just imagine that. There's no no atmosphere.
You're not wrong, actually.
So, it would be great. It'd be great.
So, what are you saying?
I don't know. This is
Sunday lunchtime, 12:40.
The primo
great,
spot.
Great time.
75-point win.
75. And Tex is going to kick 8 goals with 5 fatties?
At least.
It's what's the 30% rule. But I think, because of the atmospheric pressure of Marvel, it'll be 5 goals from outside. 50.
Yeah, 5 out of 8 fatties. Yeah,
imagine that.
The fatty
we probably have to do a pod next
he's going to find and he's going to have kick 1 point and it may break the goalpost.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll take that.
Take that. You're due to have another baby next week, Sam. If we win by 75 points, can we do the pod anyway?
Mate, I'm not spending my nights at the hospital next week, so let's lock it in. Just
lock it in.
It's not okay. Monday. We'll do it. Look, I've got a Tyro's Twister.
I don't think any changes. Really? I don't think any changes, Dave.
The only Dave, change you, would be potentially the centre forward role that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I reckon Frampton will be out and one of McHenry or Hamill, and they'll bring Fogg and Worrell in.
Fogg and
Worrell.
Two smalls?
For Frampton and one of those two smalls.
We're going to play taller?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
But McHenry and Hamill are different ends of the ground.
Yeah. They're both on a flank. They're both on a flank. Worrell can play forward or back. And Fogg can play small. Fogg can play small, as we saw in the SNFL during the week. And one of the smalls will be the medical sub. So there you go. And we'll win by 15 goal win.
15 goals.
He does need to rotate the squad. Like you can't do the old, I don't know who it was. I think it was probably Pike. Just did, we all won, so we'll keep it as is. Like you've got a reward. What about Haitley? Like Haitley was only really not involved at the start of the year because he was injured. Mm. It wasn't a form thing.
No, I reckon I'll give him a few just to get some game
time. Okay. What is that? The first game he's played?
He played in the SNFL trial games. The preseason trial games. And wasn't amazing. So I think they'll get him playing some consistent.
But it would be a fantastic place to be, right? Forcing people out rather than forcing them in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, definitely. You got a quick twister? Or are we wrapping this up?
It's only one question. It'll be as quick as how good you guys are. Okay. I think Dave will get it. I think
Do you know the answer?
Yeah, I do know the answer. I haven't researched this one. This one's just off the head. It was off the back of text, kicking six again. So I want you to name me the last, most recent game, the last seven players in the Crows club that have kicked six or more goals.
How have you not researched this?
Because I just know that.
The last six.
Okay, Tom Lynch.
No, the last seven. Because I think I know eight, but I'm going to go with seven. The last seven players of the Adelaide Crows that have kicked six or more goals.
All right.
Now, it's not text doubling up.
Yeah. Individual players.
It's just the individual players that have kicked six or more goals.
Lynch.
Working back from today. Yeah, right. Lynch.
Walker, Lynch, Betts.
Yep.
Definitely those three.
JJ.
Yeah, Jenkins would have kicked six.
Yeah.
Trent Henschel.
Trent Potential.
No, he's not most recent.
No, he wouldn't be in the recent.
He's in the last 10 years.
No, Rashuto, not Rashuto. In the last eight players.
Did Rashuto kick six at full forward?
Not in the last eight players. Not in the last eight. Not in the last eight.
Dangerfield?
Not in the last eight. No,
Did Rashuto kick six from full forward at the end of his career? Was he in the last?
But yeah, he did kick six, but not in the last. He's not the most recent eight. You've got four. The most obvious.
Like this mystery. This mystery.
I haven't made it up. It's fucking real.
All right, give us a clue for one of the remainders.
Well, Dave's mentioned one of the players tonight already.
Dave's mentioned.
Oh, Fogarty. Fogarty kicked six against West Coast, didn't he?
No, he kicked five.
Oh, okay.
Kicked five. I was there. Dave's mentioned one of these players already.
Carey.
Nah. And too far. Like we're not. This has all been done in
potential. He kicked them in 2008. So.
That was in the eight. It's all. This is all before. After that.
Mm. Yeah.
Tippett. I think Tippett might be the eighth. So there's three in between. They're pretty obscure, right?
Pretty obscure. Carriage.
Carriage. That's one. Carriage, Dave mentioned that one.
Yeah.
And now there's two more. Nah, not Petrenko.
Charlie Cameron.
Nah. Charlie got
five. Kick few fives.
Okay, I'll start giving you some hints.
Mm.
Okay, one of them left the Crows in the last, I'm thinking, 3 years.
McGovern?
And played in another club in Melbourne. I can hear them screaming out in the Crow's Nest.
McGovern, Lever,
Betts. Think far more average. These two players are
Matty Wright.
One of the, no.
Didn't he go to Carlton with Kerridge?
Never got six.
Oh, McKernan.
Never got six.
Oh, good.
think a club that we really hate.
Bulldogs.
Oh, so many.
We all hate them all. Free kick.
Hawthorn.
Never got six.
For the Crows.
There's another player.
Ricky Henderson.
Ricky Henderson got six. Played at full forward at Adelaide Oval one night. Now it leaves us with one more, everybody.
Okay, Kitzel's
even more obscure than Ricky Henderson. It was at Footy Park, like Ricky Henderson's.
Footy Park.
A long time ago, very much a fringe player. Never really did much at all, but he had one night. One night, it was a night game. He played at full forward out of nowhere, and he kicked six goals.
Adam Saliba.
No, not that
Shane Dillon.
but probably not many more games than Adam.
Was he that Sturt bloke that played for us for a while?
Yeah, Dave's
on the Tambling. Richard Tambling.
No.
McIntyre?
No. Montair? No.
Scott Welch?
Similar name to... He's got the same first name as one of our better players.
Mm.
Rory? No.
better players.
They're not going to get it, are you?
If Dave
can't get it, because Dave knows, he just doesn't know the name.
Not Martin. No, what's...
You've got it.
It's the guy.
Brody Martin. Six goals.
Fucking hell.
That was a fantastic twist, I think.
Yeah, good twist.
That was a four game, wasn't it, Toro?
Researched in your head. But go on, check it up. It's all right.
Yeah,
right. Apart from maybe Tipper. I think Tipper kicked six, but...
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one, Toro.
Kerridge did it against North Melbourne in that game. I can't remember the teams that Brody and
it's Port Adelaide where Brody Martin had the night out, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. That's
I don't recall it being six goals, but we'll run with it.
Yeah, all right.
Six. Go and check it. Someone will check it. Footy Wire.
We'll go out.
Don't sound so disdainful, Slugger. That was a fantastic system.
It was.
Oh, this is a good Kings of Leon song.
Oh, God. I'm really concerned that this is affecting our brand, James. I don't want to associate myself with these guys.
This song was in a soundtrack of a FIFA game in the mid-noughties, and I remember playing it a lot. And
Was it on a G-pad?
Yeah, it was PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3.
I used to like them too, but I heard they rocked up to Coachella all in their own Hummers, and that's what they demanded.
Brody Martin's highest individual goal scoring game was three goals, so you might have to go.
No, that's not true. I'll find it.
People come to the Crow's Nest podcast for the accuracy.
I'll find it. That is bullshit. Maybe in hindsight it was an Anzac Cup game or something, but he definitely kicked it.